Thank you for tuning into the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
You are listening to the 91.7 WEEM Weekly Podcast. My name is Dylan Brown, and today I'm joined by Nate Haw, who is the owner of Ohana Lulu here in downtown Pendleton. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
My pleasure.
First off, can you just briefly describe the business?
Yeah, so we are a donut and ice cream shop. We also have a full espresso bar. A lot of people don't know that, so we can do pretty much everything that a Starbucks would do, but custom donuts, so that you get to pick your own icing and topping, and then a premium ice cream shop as well with 30 flavors plus Dole Whip, which is always popular for those that know what Dole Whip is.
Yeah. So you guys started in Fishers. When did you first open that location?
We actually opened February 14th of 2020, so 3 weeks before basically the world shut down.
Oh, wow. What a time to start.
Exactly. Perfect timing.
Yeah. How did that impact the start of the business?
Well, the first probably 2 weeks of COVID were pretty scary because it got really slow. And but then after that, I'm not exactly sure what triggered it, but we just kind of took off. The town of Fishers was really good at promoting us. We weren't going to stop for anything. So we did a lot of social media marketing and really changed our plans and went to an online ordering system. We were able to not only endure that time, but also really kind of thrive. It was kind of good for us in a way, just because of how the community rallied around us.
Yeah, that's really impressive for quarantine times.
Yeah, it was great.
What do you think is the hardest part of starting a business?
One is just getting the gumption to do it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I had wanted to start a business for 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And just really wasn't willing to take that leap of faith.
Are you glad you did now?
I am definitely glad I did now. I mean, there's definitely a lot of, like having a company behind you that you can rely on that paycheck. Some people take that for granted. I mean, it is nice to have, but yeah. I really enjoy having the freedom that I do and mm-hmm. being able to, make my own schedule. And sometimes the business makes the schedule for me, but at the same time, like, I enjoy that I have to go after the business and it's completely up to me.
Yeah. Has starting the Pendleton location, now that you have some experience, been easier than the Fishers one?
Like opening Pendleton was a breeze. Like I feel like I could open a store yeah. really, really easily. It's just the hardest part is just kind of the marketing and really getting the awareness out there in whatever community that you're opening. Here it was easy just because we live here and
yeah.
We have so many friends and it was just easy to get that word out. But no, I think it's pretty easy to do at this mm-hmm. point.
What does an average day look like for you?
For me, so I typically, like after I wake up, I'll go and I'll go to each store just to see if one take deposits to the bank. I will, a lot of times I'm running product from one store to another that maybe one store has something that the other doesn't. I'm also like, I'm doing so many things for our franchising company. Whether that's getting contracts negotiated with vendors so that we can get the best deals possible on the products or looking for other locations for the future. Basically, everything I do is trying to build for the future, not necessarily running a store.
Yeah, you want to expand.
Yes.
All right. Have you been happy with the community response since you opened the second location?
Absolutely. Like I said, we have lots of friends here in Pendleton, so We get a lot of support from our friends, but then just the community in general, like, it's been great to see.
Yeah. So obviously right now it's a little difficult to get employees. Have you dealt with those same issues at all?
Not recently. We've only had one, 2 week stretch in Fishers last year, where we, on the weekends, we closed early. I think we did 3 days, like a Saturday, Sunday, and then another Saturday. And if I had to do that over, I wouldn't close early. I would just, rearrange things a little differently. We've been pretty lucky in that we don't struggle to find employees. Most of our employees are high school kids. So it's actually kind of easy to find employees for that. But, even like the management side, I've got some really reliable people and that really enjoy working with us. So, we've been pretty lucky and haven't had any issues really.
Well, that brings me to my next question. How important is it to have good managers and employees in order to be successful?
It's impossible to be successful without it. The manager has to set the tone. Really it comes from me setting the tone with the management, but then also them, they're the ones that are there day in, day out and having to make sure that, customers are happy, employees are happy. If you don't have happy employees, they're not going to to treat the guests right. So, I mean, there couldn't be a bigger key to business than having the right people.
So basically you're like the big picture stuff and the manager's like the day-to-day.
Correct.
All right. Does Ohana do seasonal or festive flavors at all?
So one thing that we definitely have we call it seasonal specials. So like every 4 to 6 weeks, we do something different with our donuts specifically. So right now we're doing our Christmas donuts. So we have a half dozen donuts that are all Christmas related. And then we also have some minis that we shape into a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Before that we had some Thanksgiving donuts. So yes, we always have a rotating kind of flavors and seasonal things like that. And then with the ice cream, we try to we just got in our peppermint ice cream for the holiday season, and so we try to do like fruity flavors in the summer or spring, and just kind of rotate some of the ice cream flavors just to bring variety.
Yeah. How important is location when you're picking like where to put your stores?
So after employees, I mean, location is either 1A or a very close number 2. I mean, if you don't have the right location, if you don't have people coming in or driving by and seeing it, you also can't be successful. Mm-hmm. So those are honestly probably the two biggest keys to having a successful business of any kind.
Yeah. Has it been beneficial to be so close to the high school?
I think so. One, it's being downtown Pendleton, we always have the foot traffic. So, the high school specifically, we do have high school kids that come in the morning before coming to school. So that helps. We don't typically have that in Fishers. But I think we are a little closer to the high school here in Pendleton, and we do see that. So, and then right after school, we do see quite a bit. So being close definitely helps.
So you get the high school customers and the employees. Seems like the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
How do you divide your time between Fishers and Pendleton? Like, are you spending more time here since it's newer, or do you spend roughly the same?
So the first couple of months, because we opened in August, and I'd say August, September, October, I was probably a majority here, and now it's probably 50-50. Fishers is still busier than the Pendleton store, so I do spend quite a bit of time there now, but I also have more managers in Fishers, so they can handle it. I just like to be involved. So I spend, it's probably about 50-50 at this point.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Just that we love being here in Pendleton. Being from Pendleton, like, it's just always been what we wanted to do, is be a big part of the community. We're always looking for new and exciting things to do. So, we're always open to suggestion, and we want to do whatever makes people happy. So we always say we sell joy, and we feel like it's impossible to leave our place without being happy, because it's donuts and ice cream and coffee. Yeah. So, we just want to thank the community for supporting us, and hope that we continue to grow with the community.
Well, that's kind of like what you said earlier. You opened in August, so not that long ago, and I feel like you guys have really cemented yourself into the community pretty fast.
Yeah, well, that's our goal. Like, we definitely want, when you think of Pendleton, we want you to think of Honolulu, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me here today. That's all the questions I have.
My pleasure.
Make sure you stay tuned, because we will be back right after this quick ad for yet another interview.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone, but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to my segment of the WEEM weekly podcast. So I'm here with my friend Trinity, who I'm interviewing about her mother's flower business, Earl Grey Fields.
Hi, woo!
Yay.
Yay!
So, first question, what's your mom's business? What's she do?
My mom is a flower farmer. She works out of our house. She plants her seeds indoors and grows them throughout the winter. That way they begin to seed, and then in the early spring she plants them herself in our backyard. We have about 7 to 9 acres of land. Some of it's farmable. That's why it kind of depends. But she kind of plants them and rows, and then throughout the season she'll like switch them out depending on different flowers growing seasons. She supplies a few different needler stores. But yeah, she just kind of grows flowers from seed. She cuts them, and then she does as she pleases with them.
So true. But how does she go about publicizing?
Publicizing, she uses a lot of social media. She uses Instagram a lot. Earl Grey Fields on Instagram, if you want to go follow her.
Wait, but Grey is with an E?
With an E, yes. Yeah. Grey is with an E, not an A. She also is present on Facebook, so she has a Facebook page. So she does both of those. And then back during the summer of 2021, we also did a farmer's market. So we would pass out like business cards, and we would talk to people about our business, which also brought in a lot of new customers.
That's so silly. I didn't know you guys did that. Yeah. But what's it like? I know you work with her just a bit. What's it like working with her?
I think it's a lot of fun. She has me do a lot of different stuff. Sometimes she'll have me outside helping her when it comes to like cutting the flowers, or after she's cut them, she'll have me help her arrange them in bouquets. Mm. And then she also has me deliver them a lot. So she'll like give me stuff and give me addresses, and then I have to go and deliver stuff.
Oh my gosh, you're like a little mailman.
I am, like a little flower delivery person, and it's cool. It's fun.
That's so fun. But what goes into growing all these flowers? Because I've been, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah. So in terms of like work or in terms of material?
I mean, I guess both, really.
Both. So we have to start either late winter, usually, the seeds indoors. So what we'll do is we'll buy these pods, and it's just kind of like little tablets of like soil. And then you put them in water, and then they expand. So they're like, like just big blocks of soil. So then you put the seeds in them, and then you put them on, we use like industrial racks that usually people would have like in garages or like warehouses.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so just like for storage. And then we hang our grow lights on them, and then we put the pods in trays underneath those, and we have to keep them in there for a few weeks. Depending on the type of flower, it just depends on how long it will stay indoors or how long it would take to germinate, which is when it starts to like grow sprouts and stuff. And then we move them outdoors. And then once again, depending on the flower, just depends on the location. We do have a greenhouse, so some of them go in there. And then we have.
I saw that in production. That's so fun.
she has a hoop house, which is the kind that you see. They're like kind of like half circles, and then they've got kind of like plastic looking on the outside. So we grow a lot in there. Yeah, and she just recently did a greenhouse that has the glass windows.
So. Oh, that's so silly of her. She's moving up. That's so
she
cool.
She is moving up in the world. She is expanding her business very quickly, and she's having a lot of fun doing it.
I mean, I probably have a lot of fun doing that, too. It sounds like so nice to be self-employed and doing something that you really like
right,
as a year, like, job.
Yeah, because she's liked doing stuff like this ever since she was a kid, and now she's just finally in a position where she can do it for her job, and we're all very thankful and grateful that we're able to do that.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, honestly, and being able to do it with your family is just, like, a huge...
Right, because it's just, like, at our house, all on the farm, and everyone who helps her is family, whether it's her father who helps her with, like, the building, or it's my dad who helps her with, like, the farm equipment, or if it's me who helps her with deliveries and stuff, but she does do a lot of it herself. She is, like, a very strong figure in this business.
I love that for her, honestly. But what is your most popular flower?
Our most popular flower... She does really good with the tulips in the early spring. A lot of schools like the tulips and also needlers. Last year when we first started supplying needlers, like this past year, so this past spring, we first started supplying needlers. And we gave them, I believe, in total 35 bouquets for their first year. But we also went to a few different locations, so I'm not sure if that number is correct. But she filled several buckets of just, like, bouquets of tulips, and she had given a lot to also schools and then also just to, like, individuals who had wanted to buy. So I would say that those were really popular. And then aside from that, since most stuff comes in a bouquet, it's not necessarily, like,
one specific,
that's popular. The only thing really that people are buying in bulk would probably be the tulips. And also right now selling a lot of, good tulips. And also right now, it's not necessarily a flower, but she's also been selling a lot of bushels of rose hip recently, which is like a, it's like a twig with berries on it.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know she, So does she grow anything other than flowers? Not to sell, but just whatever.
Yeah, we have a garden at home and she has like a lot of herbs and we have a lot of, just like vegetables or fruits. Like we do tomatoes, we do peppers, we do strawberries and all of that stuff. And then, which obviously you don't grow these, but we also have like chickens and stuff. So like we have like a...
Imagine growing a chicken. That'd be so funny.
Growing a chicken, yes, from the ground. So we have, aside from the flower farm, we do kind of live... Not on, like, a big production farm or, like, a farm that would be in full supply of, like, grocery stores or anything, but we live off of our land, so.
I know. Your guys' house is honestly so cool. I love going over there, especially, like, just the outdoors parts of it. It's just so fun.
Right, yeah. We have, it's just really nice out there.
It is. It's so, like, yeah, this is hashtag Indiana.
Hashtag Indiana. Hashtag this is Indiana in its purest form.
Really, honestly. But to end off our little interview, I ask this for everybody. What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite? My favorite color is brown. My mom's favorite color is purple.
Oh, I love purple. That's so true of her.
Purple's my second favorite color. It was my favorite for a long time, but I've been really into brown recently.
Brown's a really nice color too, depending on the shade, of course.
Yeah, depending on the shade.
But okay, thank you. Thank you so much
for
agreeing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing to do this interview. And we're happy to promote your mother's business. Ooh,
thank you.
Let's go.
Yes. Woohoo!
Okay, but thank you for listening. Yippee.
Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back after this quick ad for another interview.
The 91.7 WEEM app can be found on both Android and Apple phones app stores for free.
Hi, I'm Ethan Lincoln, and I am here with...
Avi Staley.
So, we're going to be here talking about Iron Horse Martial Arts and your place in it. What, like, originally got you started in martial arts or of any kind?
Well, when I was, like, 7 or 8 years ago, when I was littler, I really was into ninjas and stuff, so I thought it'd be cool if I could, like, be a ninja and beat people up and stuff, so that's why I got into it.
What made you choose, like, Taekwondo over different martial arts?
I didn't actually have a say in it. My mom's the one that signed me up, and I had no idea that she did, so it was a surprise.
So, do you have any idea why your mom chose Iron Horse instead of somewhere else?
Because I'm pretty sure it's, like, the only place in Pendleton. There is a place in, like, Fisher's by the movie theater.
So, now that we know, like, why you joined and that you didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Why did you want to stay?
Well, I made a lot of friends there and, like, a lot of good memories. So, that's another reason that I stayed. And also because my mom forced me to in the beginning. But now I just really like going.
How many years have you been going?
7 or 8.
So, basically, when you really like, from when you really like ninjas.
Yeah.
Okay, so, what belt are you right now?
I'm a first degree black belt.
How long does it take you to get there?
It kind of depends on, like, how much effort you put into it. I missed a couple testings when I first started since I was really bad at some stuff.
Well, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, it is. I'm good at it now, though, so it's fine.
Well, how do you feel, like, do you think what you're being taught is easy, hard, could be taught better?
I think it's pretty hard, like, now that I'm at my level, but when I first started, looking back, it was really easy. I was just a pretty dumb kid.
So, is there, like, any part of your color belt phase or stage that you distinctly remember?
I used to have this friend Orion, and I just remember all of our memories together. So probably like yellow belt through red belt is like my favorite.
I know I know personally that you're an overachiever when it comes to falling to the ground.
Yeah, I like that part.
What made you become such an overachiever in that aspect?
Oh, because I used to do wrestling, like pro wrestling stuff, before like I got this injury, so now I can't do it anymore. But I still like doing the fall since it's one of my favorite parts.
Where did you wrestle?
So I trained for about a year at Pitbull's Powerhouse Training Center. It was pretty fun.
Anyway. Anyways, so going back on track to Iron Horse, what do you think, like, if you had a choice, if you could move schools, would you change?
No, definitely not. I really like all the people there.
So, if you're given an option between Iron Horse and a state-of-the-art Taekwondo training gym, you choose Iron Horse?
Yeah, because Iron Horse is better.
Do you know why it was called Iron Horse?
Iron Horse itself started off in Pendleton, but later they did open a chain of Taekwondo martial arts themed places with iron at the beginning of the name.
Do you know what a couple of these are called?
I do not, because I don't live there.
So, what do you think is your favorite part about Taekwondo?
I like doing self-defense a lot. I think that's a pretty fun part.
Are they called, like, anything else?
Sometimes they're called one-steps because it's, like, a one-step takedown, kind of.
Even though that doesn't really make sense.
Shut up.
I go there, too. Anyways. So, I know that Taekwondo, it's, the meaning of Taekwondo is heavily focused on kicking with your hands.
What?
Yeah, it's like kicking fist method.
Yeah. You said kicking with your hands.
Yeah.
Kicking
fist method.
I'm just kidding.
So, how many, like, punches do you do?
1 second. About 3 or 4.
And how many kicks are there?
I don't know. A lot.
Is it more than 4?
Yeah, it's way more than 4.
Try listing off the ones you remember.
Front kick, back kick, side kick, spinning, backside, backside, hook kick, spinning hook kick, spinning roundhouse.
There's the 720 kick.
The 720 kick, the 420 kick, the...
The one kick.
The one kick, the...
You know it said roundhouse, right?
I said roundhouse.
You just said spinning roundhouse.
Roundhouse. Yeah.
There's flying side kicks, flying front kicks, flying back sides.
Well. Yeah. Those are some kicks.
I didn't keep track of how many there were, but I know that's a lot.
More than four.
More than I can remember.
Yeah.
I know there's a dump kick.
Yeah, the dump kick, the Korean roundhouse.
Otherwise, the inverted roundhouse. Then there's the Korean leg sweep. It's not really a kick.
That's not a kick.
You know, I used to just look at it and think, how ineffective is that?
That's so stupid.
And then Master Gerber spent a whole class on it.
Yeah, I watched you guys do the ending of that, but what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, my first goal, you know, so there's a blue belt with a red stripe. My main goal was to get to that one since I thought it looked cool. I was so bummed out when I got my red belt because I was like, dang it, now I don't have the cool belt anymore.
Respectfully, the blue stripe is the best belt.
It is. I also have pretty good memories with that one, too.
So, you have anything else to add?
No.
All right. I guess that'll be all. Go and say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
And have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or anywhere podcasts can be found.